This is Doug Miller. Many times there is deep darkness before the light of dawn breaks. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time this side of eternity with the Bible in hand. And we invite you to come along and open up to the fifth chapter of Esther, and we will see very presently what the Lord has for us out of this rich, beautiful book. And it, so far, I think, has been a great blessing to all of us, and it gets even better. So come along, bring your Bible, open up, call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, as you've heard me say, if you've been listening to Dialogue for any time at all, to that end, we require the support of the Lord's people. Pray for Dialogue. Pray for Dialogue. Write our names down on your prayer list and pray. Pray that we be given liberty to speak the word. Pray that others will listen in. Pray that this message will go out ever farther. We are living in dangerous, troubling, dark, and wicked and evil times, and the enemy would like nothing more than to stamp out everything that we are doing and that others in ministries similar to ours are trying to do. Pray for Dialogue. We would love also to hear from you. Always a pleasure to hear from our listeners, to know that you're there, to know that you're listening, to know where you are, to know how far out the broadcast is reaching, to know anything that you need that we might give you, materials, answer questions, help and support, all with no strings attached, and I mean absolutely no strings attached. We don't beg for money. We don't do that. We never have. We never will. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. You may also email Dialogue if you wish. That's fine too. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We have a web page, and our broadcasts are on that web page, and you may pull that down and read about us and so on and so forth. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. If you put .com, you'll get something else, so don't do it. DialogueMinistries.org. Now, finally, you want to call me and talk to me, be delighted to talk to you. Always a pleasure. You will get a message. I'm not sitting there moment by moment at the telephone just waiting for the phone to ring. So you'll get a message, recording, and leave a message, and I'll get back with you. The telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. That is 405-535-9089. All right, let's get into Esther. We saw, the last time we were in here, Queen Esther coming into the king. We saw her obtaining favor. We saw him saying to her, "What can I do for you, Queen Esther? I'll give it, I'll do it up to half the kingdom. And we saw a really rather modest request. I would like for you to come to a banquet that I've prepared for you. Oh, and by the way, bring Haman with you. We saw Haman, this murderous, villainous, evil, wicked man, coming to the banquet. And he has no idea what's in store for him. He thinks that he is being honored. Well, the king thinks so too up to this point, because at that first banquet we saw that Queen Esther says, once again, we get the same statement from the king. What is it you want? I'll give it to you. Come to a banquet tomorrow. So now we have back-to-back banquets. Haman goes home. Boy, he's happy. He has been honored by being at a banquet with the king and the queen. And he is so happy, except for one thing. And we saw it last time, you know, this guy Mordecai, who will not treat him with the respect he thinks he's got coming. Mordecai, this Jew who is evidently some kind of smart aleck, you know, and he won't bow the knee to poor old Haman, and Haman just hates him he hates him so badly that he's going to kill him, and not just him, but all the Jews. All right, that's where we left it. Haman, finally, he goes home, and he... we saw last time he, you know, tells his family all the good things that have happened. So let's pick it up in verse 12 now of chapter 5. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she prepared but myself. And tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. And, you know, you'd think that would be enough, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you? But people who hate other people, it's never enough. Hate is a bottomless pit. I mean, it spirals right down into the abyss. And these self-important people who, you know, I have not got the respect that I deserve, it's never enough. Look at verse 13. What an amazing thing. Here is the king. And think about it, and the queen. If there are two more powerful people in the world right now, I don't know who they would be. Here is a man who reigns from India to Ethiopia. Here is a man who is the most powerful kingdom on earth. It is an empire. And there are all of these people under his rule, and his word is law. And here is his queen, whom he loves above all others, whom he has offered half the kingdom to. Now, these are two powerful people, and the queen happens to be a Jew, and the king probably doesn't even know it. And doesn't care anyway. And here is Haman, invited to a banquet with the king and queen. And he is so happy about it. He feels so good about himself, except for one thing. Look at verse 13. It is an amazing statement. He says to his wife, yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Are you kidding me? You've been invited to this banquet, back-to-back banquets, in fact, and yet the thing that is really foremost in your mind is Mordecai? Mercy sakes, man, as my grandma used to say. Mercy sakes, boy, put those little chickens back with their mother, said grandma. But that's a whole other story. We're not going there right now. Look at this. And he gets some real good advice from his wife. Or is it? It's really real bad advice. But, of course, being an evil, wicked man and being married to an evil, wicked woman, I mean, what would you expect? What would you expect? These two deserve one another, don't they? And they are going to get it. They are going to get what they've got. Look at her advice to him. Verse 14 of chapter 5. Then said Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends unto him. Well, he's got a bunch of real slick friends, too, doesn't he? Let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. Now, this is 75 feet, gang. This is higher than a seven-story building. Think of that. I mean, this is a high gallows. And tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. All right, get rid of him. Yeah, this guy who's spoiling your life by his existence. Now, see, think of that one. Has Mordecai really done anything to this man Haman? No. It's his very existence. And I would ask all of you out there, take a look at the Middle East. What have the Jews done, really, to any of the people over there who hate them? Take a look at the world. What have the Jews done to any of the people that hate them? Take a look at Europe, which wiped out maybe is better, or the people in Europe, who during World War II wiped out 6 million Jews. What had the Jews actually done to them? Well, they had brought them culture. They had brought them science. They had brought them learning. They had brought them philosophy, music. They were the cream of the crop. They had risen to the top in any area you want to name. And what did they do? They killed them by the millions. What had the Jews done? They had been a blessing to them. They have been a blessing wherever they have gone. And why not? God said, I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. And I want to say something about that. All of these people over in the Middle East now, these different Gentile nations that surround Israel and who are cursing Israel, who are trying to wipe them out of existence, you do not know the condemnation you are heaping up for yourself. I will curse them that curse thee. And for those of you in other parts of the world that hate the Jews, you do not know what you are heaping up for yourself. Here is Naaman, Haman, rather, I'm sorry, and Zeresh, his wife, and all of his friends, saying, get rid of this man. Get rid of him. Hang him on a gallows 75 feet high. And then she, look at him. And then she says, and go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. Tra-la-la. Merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream. Now, Haman has already taken steps to wipe out all the Jews in the kingdom, wipe them out of existence. But here's a little, a little precursor to it, a little preliminary joy. We'll hang this guy Mordecai, and then go merrily into the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Oh, my. Once again, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. And for all of you out there, all of you Jew haters, whoever you are, you don't know what you're doing. You have not begun to see trouble yet. Because you will not. I'll assure you, you will not be allowed to go to bring this one to fruition. And for all of you out there who are teaching this false, demonic, hateful doctrine that we call replacement theology, for all of you out there who think that the church has replaced Israel and that all of the promises God made to Israel because Israel did not accept Jesus as Messiah, that all of those have been co-opted by the church. For all of you who are out there teaching that as you read in the Old Testament, every time you read Israel, just put the church in there. For all of you who think that the blessings promised to Israel are going to be brought on you, the Gentiles, but somehow you're going to skip all of the curses that God pronounced on Israel for not keeping the law. For all of you who are caught up in this, shame on you. Some of you have accepted this wicked, evil doctrine, but you will not hear that from this guy on the radio speaking to you now. I'll be gone a long time before I will allow anything like that to be taught on Dialogue. You had better think twice about what you're doing. Here is Haman. He has built the gallows. Tomorrow he's going to hang Mordecai on it, he thinks. And now he goes merrily on his way. He is going to sleep a good night's sleep, knowing that tomorrow, or thinking that tomorrow, he's going to be honored by Esther and the king, and that he's going to get rid of this bum that's causing him all of this trouble. Well, God has something to say about this, and let's see what God has to say about it. Although, once again, God is not mentioned in this book. If you don't see the hand of the Lord all over this, I'll pray for you. Because that very night, the king could not sleep. Now, I have nights like that. All of you have nights like this. Some of the best nights of all sometimes are nights when you can't sleep. And you get up and you can't sleep and you say, well, I can't sleep. I think I'll just go in and do some Bible reading, get down before the Lord and pray, spend some time with the Lord. You know, as long as something as this is happening, and I might as well turn it to good advantage. The king does not go in to spend time with the Lord, but what he does, he says, bring the records and the chronicles that are in our, you know, archives here. I guess there was a royal library, and they brought them, and they were read before the king. And what do we have? It was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. Remember, there was this plot, to murder the king by these two men. Mordecai learned of it. He passed it on to the king through Esther. The king's life was saved. The king reads it. And the king in verse 3 said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. Now, isn't this interesting? I said that slowly because my wife tells me that I use the word too much. All right. But I used it. Take note. We have got two parties now that are looking at Mordecai and wanting to do something to him, and they are two different parties, and one wants to kill Mordecai and the other one wants to honor him. Huh. It, once again, if you don't see the hand of the Lord in this one, I'll pray for you. The king, and whose desires trump here? Well, the king's do. I don't care what Haman thinks he's going to do. The king is the one that's running things, you know. And here we have it. The king says, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. That's what he has done. Haman's come in to say, I want to hang this guy. Well, no reason why Mordecai shouldn't, or why Haman shouldn't think that the king will do it. He's been honored of the king. He's a powerful man here. Why not? The king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. The king said, let him come in. So Haman came in verse 6, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now look at this one. I love it. I love it. And Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than myself? Okay, would some power the gifty Gius to see ourselves as others see us, wrote Robbie Burns on an occasion. And here we have Haman. Haman sees himself in one way. The king is not even thinking of Haman. Haman sees Mordecai in one way. The king sees Mordecai in another. And Haman, but he thinks, why, the king's talking about me, of course. He wishes to honor me. So he answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal, which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may be arrayed. That they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Now this guy, Haman, this is high comedy. If it weren't so tragic and sick and demonic. Haman thinks that he is preparing this for himself, and he thinks of everything good that he can do, thinking that the king is talking of himself. Oh, is he about to get a surprise? Look at verse 10. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so too. Hold it right there. You can see Haman, can't you? Just smiling. That smile getting broader and broader. The joy filling up his evil, wicked, miserable heart. To Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Now, wait a minute, king. I was getting ready to hang this man. Do you see a deflated ego here? Oh, this is nothing. It's going to get a lot worse. But right now, it's about as bad as Haman can make it. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered. I'll bet he did. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.